I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome to Bottoming, the LGBTQ mental health podcast about rock bottoming and beyond.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at BottomingPod or visit bottomingpodcast.com for more content relating to each episode.
We've also added a support page to the website to direct you to the right place if you're struggling or need someone to talk to.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe and review us on Apple Podcasts.
Hello, my name is Matthew.
And I am Brendan, and our pronouns are he and him. And another week down, another episode for your ears.
Must be fed up of us, but we're back. You won't see us for 6 months, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
get us while we're hot.
The reason that we're back for this very special, very short episode, we will say, is because last week, 1st of July, it was the 50th anniversary of the very first Pride March that took place in London. You may also know it was also the official Pride in London over the weekend as well. So there's been a lot happening over the last week, hasn't there?
So much. So much. It was a very busy day. We said in the past couple of episodes that we'll be going to this march. And I think it was, I don't know if we're talking about it straight away, but I think it was, I've never been in a march myself. I've been to protests, but I've never been in a march start to finish. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, felt a part of something. Because obviously Pride in London, it's very corporate and only certain people are in the march. And so it's always quite exclusive in that regard. So this was a very, very welcome change and it was just very, very heartwarming experience.
Yeah, it was led by some of the original marchers from 50 years ago, one of whom you will hear in this episode.
Philip.
But we started the day actually by visiting Tonic. So if you're just listening for the first time, I used to work at Tonic Housing, which was the UK's first LGBT affirming retirement community. Mm-hmm. And after I left, I remained friends with some of the residents there that had moved in.
They love you, honestly.
And now, aren't they just the best?
It was so nice to actually see them in person, because obviously you can tell me things about it, but I mean, if I'm not there, I'm not going to exactly witness what it feels like, but they just love you so much. You can really, really, it emanates from them.
So we started the Friday with a nice coffee, some gorgeous biscuits at Lydia's. We saw Min, we saw Willie. Yeah, and then we went to the march. But we're getting ahead of ourselves, and we will be able to share some of those beautiful clips.
Yeah.
Shortly, but first, how have you been the last week?
I think I've been good. Yeah, it's just been full steam ahead with dissertation stuff, with uni, with this. We've had an episode out last week, and so there's just been things to keep doing, which I think also helps with my mental health in a way, because I'm not just sitting with my thoughts. And as people may know, I don't have a day-to-day job, just have this podcast and my master's. So, although I do have a job interview today, so please wish me luck. So it's not like I have a general routine of like get up, go to work, etc., etc. So it does help when there's other projects on. So yeah, I think I'm just, I've been treading water, doing my thing. And I will say, you'll probably get a sense of what it was like to be there. I think we invested in a bit of a little dictaphone, and it helps with the audio quality, but also it really captured what it felt like to be there on the march. And I think the fact that we were there to get some quotes as well, that pushed us to speak to more people, I would say. And so, I don't know, that is always an affirming thing for me. And yeah, I really love that. It really just boosted my love of the little community that we're in. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm okay. I think similarly, it was a very busy week last week, wasn't it? The last couple of days anyway, especially over the weekend, I think I've been feeling a little bit worn out with it all, like mentally and physically. I had a little hospital appointment that I needed to go and get something checked.
Yes, yeah.
A little thing on my face that I thought was potentially going to be skin cancer, which we don't think it is, but I need to have that removed. So that was the start of the week. And then some bigger news is in between all of this and Pride and episodes and work. I'm going to be moving back to Liverpool pretty soon.
This is the first time I'm hearing about this. How dare you drop this on me live on air?
Yeah, there's been a few big family changes and things that I need to just be a bit closer to home for. So, yeah, it's never been something that I thought I would say. Not anytime soon anyway. But I'm at the point now where I'm actually excited, I think. I've confirmed the flat last week, which is beautiful. Last night, I bought a new bed frame, a new mattress. We've been couch hunting. You've been helping me with that. So, yeah, it's definitely going to be a massive change, because I've not lived there as like a working adult. So I'm looking forward to it. I think I'm just trying to focus on all of the exciting things and new things that I'll get to do and see and explore. And also I'll be able to live alone for the first time in my life, which is just amazing. But yeah, it was a nice week. But all of the other things we're doing, I saw Lord. Thank you, Scott, for that invite. Saw Lord and Ali Pally, which is amazing. We went queer climbing, didn't we, on Thursday?
Start
the Pride weekend with Alistair and Jamie. Yeah, and then marched to House Down Boots all day on Friday. So it was definitely a very rich and fulfilling week, but I think it really hit me over the weekend. And then a flight to Rwanda later this week, so
just constantly on the
non-stop
move.
Jesus. Then before I know it, I'll be in Liverpool. So yeah, I think it keeps coming in waves. I'm just trying to not let it overwhelm me.
Yeah.
Just trying to paddle, she said. Paddle.
I think, yeah, because you're going to be, you've got maybe a month left in London? So it's going to be full steam ahead. But like you said, just keep ticking those little things off the furniture list. You've got your place. You've got a job, thankfully. You can work remotely.
Yeah.
And yeah, it'll be amazing. And luckily, I mean, we're doing this at the minute on Zoom anyway, so it's going to feel the exact same. And yeah, good luck. Wish you the best. And
have a good life. Okay, sera, sera.
What will be, will be. So the next 15 minutes or so, it's going to be a few quotes and some atmospheric chants from the Pride 50 march with Gay Liberation Front from Friday the 1st of July.
Because, well, I suppose there's a reaction to Pride in London being a bit of a corporate fest. It's not really for queer people. It's not about change for, you know, queer rights. It's just a big opportunity for corporations that that do a lot of harm in terms of, like, the arms trade. Like, all these people sign up to Pride in London, give loads of money, and get to parade themselves as queer allies. And that's not allyship. Like, yeah. that's just privilege. And it's just, yeah, it's up. So... Lesbians, Gays, Support the Migrants were created in 2015, and we kind of saw that basically there was a kind of demonization and a criminalization of refugees and migrants in the same way that there was for queer people back in the day, around the time of the first Pride March. And so, yeah, we kind of recognized that persecution, that criminalization, that demonization, and we sort of recognized that we needed to stand in solidarity with people that are being criminalized today. And that's just got worse with the Nationality and Borders Bill at the end of the hostile environment. You know, like, it's looking worse and worse. It's only a couple of days ago that an LGBTQIA plus person was deported to Nigeria. And, you know, so it's really important that we come here today to say, like, there's certain people that should not be in Pride. Cops, the Home Office, private security companies like Serco, G4S, the arms companies that make weapons. Like, there's so many different groups that are on Pride marches. And because it's a big piss-up, because there's just lots of people having a really lovely time, people don't really think about that. Mm-hmm. And I think in the wake of everything that's happened in the last few years, people are a bit more conscientious about what's happening at Pride. So, yeah, that's why we're here.
We all hate cops, bombs or tops. We all hate cops, bombs or tops. We all hate cops, bombs or tops.
So I think for me, community is super important, and this is where I think I'm definitely feeling community today. And I think the mainstream Pride has definitely forgotten some of the values that I always hoped that the queer community would just hold inherently and not like almost didn't need to be said. But that's why I put these on my banner. So reproductive rights, trans rights, climate justice, migrant rights. That's not a finished list, but those things are really important, and I wish that was sort of absolutely part of Pride.
Yeah.
I am a leather worker. I have like a little queer leather business.
Amazing. Yeah.
So, what's the Instagram?
It's called Quamar Leather. Q-U-A-M-A-R leather, and I'm on Instagram, and I make lots of queer leather stuff.
Gorgeous.
Well, I think it's just really beautiful to kind of have a community-led thing, because the Pride in London, like, corporation can feel so isolating, can feel so, like, grim. Yeah. Like, we were lucky, so we launched at Pride in London, so I can't, like, hate them too much, but we were kind of lucky that we happened to be near a nice community group, and it was cute, because we could just as easily have been sat behind the fucking Sainsbury's juggernaut, and then, you know, with their, like, terrible music, and just been stuck there, and it would have felt quite soulless. And there's lots of groups that end up like that, and get, like, sort of consumed by it. And I remember going and seeing Pride in London a few times, watching it, and, like, it's cute because you get these little groups that are like a local community group, and they're really sweet, but behind them is Barclays or is whatever, and I just don't care. And I like the idea of it just being this. And also, I mean, as much as we're fighting for the future and X, Y, and Z, 50 years from the first ever Pride is a really momentous thing, and the fact that we've got some of the people from the original time who helped organise this as well as that, I think we'd be kind of wrong not to commemorate that.
Yeah.
And what I see from spaces like this is a very active solidarity. I've had loads of people coming up and being like, oh, you've got the Roma flag, tell us about that. How are you doing with the Police Crime Sentencing Courts Act? This, that, and the other. There's, like, a genuine care in spaces like this that when it becomes so sanitized, when it becomes so sanitized, it kind of it eliminates almost the ability to do that kind of sort of integrating and seeing each other. And I just find this event so much more uplifting feeling than like at Pride in London, you have to sit for like 2 hours in a fucking holding pen before you're even allowed, and it just feels very like bizarre. Whereas this, like, we all turned up, we're all just having a nice time. And in the world that we live in right now, which is I don't know if you read the news, it's a bit of a fucking demented slaughterhouse. So it's quite nice to have a thing where it feels celebratory. It isn't just like, oh, isn't everything shit, but there is a kind of sense of, well, if in no time with no money we can mobilise this amount of people and block Oxford Street, maybe things aren't as bleak as they look in the newspapers. So I think it is quite important for people.
Do you think there's been a shift in like how people are seeing the political side of it more? Like a few years back it was just, I guess, seen more as a big party. We've seen more, as you mentioned, like the policing bill. As more things like that happen and people are more aware, do you think that shifted maybe the engagement?
Yes, but I mean, you say that like it's a positive, but I think it's only because it's become so blatant now that like you couldn't ignore it. Like 10 years ago, I think it'd be quite easy to live your little happy life. You pop to Soho now and then and you go to your gay clubs and you come back to your little cosy home and you don't feel under attack. But now there are enough people that genuinely do feel under attack that like it's, I think it would be very hard to not feel confronted by the environment we're in at the moment. Like, it's not wholly positive that we're all here because it means that we're all a bit frightened. But the fact that we're here rather than just being frightened at home is the beauty of it. You know, it can be quite easy for us all to feel resigned. But we said, no, like, we're going to come out and do a thing that's not the corporate pride, that's not, like, just sitting at home and fretting and doing internet stuff. But it's being here and, like, talking to loads of people from loads of different groups and them being interested in us and us being interested in them. So, as bleak as it could look, I'm trying to be positive. Partly because otherwise I'd be a very like miserable interview and you'd cut me from your show. So, Traveller Pride is an organisation for LGBT travellers in the UK, and we use traveller to be a very wide term, so that's kind of Romani gypsies, Irish travellers, Scottish travellers, showmen, New Age travellers, people that live on canal boats, people that have or have had a nomadic habit of life. Because sort of it's an intersection that like most people don't know anything about travellers. And it's not through like malice, it is just like we're not in the papers, we're not in the like when's the last film you ever saw that had a traveller in it that you could be like, oh, that's a character I identify with that's not 2D. This just doesn't happen. And so it's about just sort of creating a bit of awareness for an intersection that exists that people don't even think of. I get loads of people that say like, I didn't think gypsies could be gay, which obviously is hilarious if you think about it for 2 seconds, but it's just because they've never been exposed to anything other than a very, very rigid stereotype of this is what gypsies look like. So part of it is about representation, but we also, with increasing sort of visibility and stuff, we're putting on more like community facing things. We have a regular meetup in London, we're trying to start one in Manchester soon, we're just looking for a space. We're going to be I don't know when you're going to use this audio. Okay, so we're going to have a stall at Trans Pride Brighton, and anyone can come up and see us and kind of get more information. We'll have leaflets and we're going to be really professional there rather than here where I've just rocked up and wasn't expecting to be interviewed.
I think today is about remembering that Pride originally was a protest and still is a protest. It's also in support, particularly of like trans brothers, sisters, people. Like, I really want to stand up and remember that, and remember that. I think today is really important because you've got the people at the front of the march who originally started this. And I know things are not great right now for LGBTQ people, but back then it was particularly difficult, I would say. And so that coming back to see them do the same route that they did is just amazing, and just give them like the credit and respect I think that they deserve. And that's why, not turning on my film, but why I think it's really important to kind of look back and celebrate the people in history that kind of forged a way for us to have the equal rights that we have now. but for us to come back and support them now as well, because those rights are never always guaranteed, they're always at risk. So it's just a wonderful kind of, I think, historical cycle, really.
So you mentioned the film that you're doing. Can you just give us a little overview of that and where people can go to help fund it?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm making a film, it's called Don't Say Gay, which is based on the title, the adopted title of the Florida bill that's actually coming to action today. So in 3 hours, children in Florida are going to wake up and basically relive Section 28, which we lived for 15 years in the UK and still live because education isn't fixed. So I'm making a film that does two things. First is to tell the historical narrative of how quickly that legislation came into power, how dangerous it was, and the fight that ensued against it, bringing the LGBTQ community together. The second part is to show them what impact that had and really tell the silence that it had for people like me. I'm in my 30s, but I went to school under it. But also the silence that continued in terms of a lack of inclusive education that represents LGBTQ people throughout the whole education system. So that's a film. It's live on Kickstarter right now. It's got 3 weeks to go. You can go to the link section28film.com to read more. If you want to go straight to Kickstarter and give us some money, it's bit.ly/section28film.
Are an education charity that's nearly 50 years old, and we've been trying to educate our prejudice for that amount of time, and we've still got a long way to go. Schools are the front line at the moment of LGBT rights and making sure every child has a fully inclusive education, that they can actually see representation for the LGBT plus community, that we can visibilise LGBT plus life and utilise them, not normalise, utilise them, so that all kids know that it's okay to be them and they have a safe and inclusive education across the spectrum, because LGBT people are black, they're brown, they're disabled, they're all different walks of life, social, economically, and we need to represent that. And I think it's one of the important things for today. It was really important to be here 50 years since Pride, on the original Pride March route, and we would not be here, because we need to do so much more. And the best thing we can do is give our children an inclusive education, because children do not start out with prejudices, they learn them. And so that's why the work's vitally important, and that's why we wanted to be here today. So Schools Out actually founded LGBT History Month. So we were the creators. So Paul Patrick and Sue Saunders were the creators of LGBT History Month, Schools Out Committee, and we'll be celebrating school behind the lens is the theme for next year. So imagine anybody that supports kind of the TV and film process, but not actors and actresses. And we'll be doing that whole thing through February. And you could be able to buy the badges from November and support that in your workplace, in museums, in libraries, in schools. And we just want everybody to get involved, because we need to really claim our past. We need to celebrate where we are. But we really have to kind of create our future. And rights are not can be given, can be taken away. So it's even more important that we know where we've come from. So if you can support LGBT History Month, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and social media, and LinkedIn.
Right. My name's Philip, and I was one of the original members of the Gay Liberation Front in London. And 50 years ago today, I was on the first Pride March, which was, thinking back on it, quite an amazing thing to do, because we were completely invisible in those days. There was no sign of us anywhere. And so it was about 700 of us gathered in Trafalgar Square, along with 2,000 policemen who had no idea what was going to happen. And we marched down Charing Cross Road along Oxford Street, and it was rather amazing. It was about visibility, because we were saying gay is good, which was something you didn't hear about then. Gays were either criminals or sinners or... So it was very important. It was organised by GLF's youth group, because then the age of consent for gay men was 21. Mm-hmm. So they took control of the day, and we ended up in Hyde Park, where we played party games and had picnics.
Gorgeous.
So bring food, drink and lots of love. And one of the, because it was illegal in those days for same-sex couples to kiss in public, we would play a game where everyone sat in a circle, someone stood in the middle with a ball and just threw it blindly into the circle. Whoever caught it then had to kiss the person in the centre. So it could be anybody. And the police spotted it and they saw two people kissing and they came over. And it turned out to be a man and a woman who were enjoying themselves so much. They joined in. They yeah. couldn't do anything about it. And eventually, after a while, they just drifted on.
How does it feel being here today, 50 years on?
A wonderful exhilarating, because we've made a lot of progress. I mean, there's still lots of things to be done. Mm-hmm. We can't be complacent. But it's just great to be here with what's my chosen family, my choir, the Pink mm-hmm. Singers, and you know, people of all ages. So what we were fighting for back in 72 is for the young people today. And I'm learning as much from them as I hope they learn from me. I'm always exhilarated at Pride, mm-hmm. and today is no different.
So when you first sent me that edit, I did dig a quite emotional.
Mm.
And I think summarising it in those clips,
mm-hmm.
when you're there, obviously there's so much happening. You're walking along Oxford Street.
You got a bus.
There's a bus
bumping you.
Yeah, people don't know what's going on because it's not, you know, an official march. So it was, there was just lots of different stimulus, wasn't there, on the day.
But so much.
Listening to it in that clip was... Yeah, it definitely got me emotional. And my, I'd say my favourite bit was actually when they all started chanting the bottoming theme tune.
I know.
You know, I mean, we haven't used that for a couple of seasons, but it was just amazing that it lives on.
So, so nice, yeah. One thing that I thought was really jarring, actually, was because, I mean, I'd thought about the march, but I hadn't thought about, like, other people in London just doing their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so just people kind of, like, lining up in the streets and just, like, staring at us with phones... did make me quite nervous. Mm. One thing I will say is after we were speaking to Phil, he was like asking about the podcast and things like that. Philip, sorry. And we were like telling him about what we do and, mm-hmm. and why we've chosen to do this. And he actually opened up about back in the day when they first started the Gay Liberation Front, they had this separate group that they would have, which was kind of like group therapy, where they would just talk then voice their concerns about, I don't know, the culture, themselves, what's going on. But they called it something else, which I can't remember the name of, but it was basically group therapy for each other. They just, it was an opportunity for them to speak about what was going on and not mm-hmm. keep everything obviously inside and internalize everything. So I thought that was a really interesting thing because... obviously activism, especially in that era, I can't imagine how isolating and vulnerable it must make you feel.
Mm-hmm.
If you're speaking loud and proud about it, mm-hmm. it's the first instance that people are doing that, you're going to feel like everyone's looking at you like you're some sort of alien.
Yeah.
They're obviously going to have lots of questions, lots of hate, I imagine. So the fact that they had this group, I just thought was really, really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Love chatting to him.
Yeah.
What a lovely man.
Just another quick point, just for anyone that has been overwhelmed with the news recently. Mm. You may have seen the news over, I think it was just after the last episode, there's the shooting in Oslo, which I think mm-hmm. we covered in the last episode. In the UK, again, as we've mentioned about the government and especially Priti Patel's like migrant policies, the recent flights to Rwanda that were supposed to have flown and have since been organised. One of them did actually include an LGBT Nigerian man who had threats against his life, several threats as well. And yeah, the government just still proceeded to include him in those and not grant him asylum. So it's just things like that when you see, for example, Boris Johnson sharing a video about, you know, the success of the government's LGBT Afghan program, mm-hmm. actually they've not done anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a couple of cases max where they've you know, done it just enough so that they can then claim to be this open, equal world. Whereas actually they're still purposefully ignoring that people are going to get killed with their policy. And not just LGBT people, like vulnerable women, children. There's so many families being split up with Priti Patel and Boris Johnson's policy. And yeah, it's just another reminder, isn't it? Like, especially, I think it's why I kind of had a bit of a sour taste in my mouth about Pride in London on the Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Is it, after seeing and being part of the one on Friday, kind of seeing what it was like on the Saturday and still seeing, you know, the Tesco van with the DJ and all of that sort of stuff, it just kind of, it doesn't sit right with me anymore. So yeah, I think I just needed to raise that little point as well, because it was all happening at one time. People are being literally killed, literally sent to their death. I know after Dublin Pride, I think it was, with five men, I think two trans men, especially, I think they were hospitalised with broken skulls because they were attacked on the way home from Dublin Pride. And I've also seen, I believe it was a gay men's chorus in London, one of their members was brutally attacked as well the day before Pride in London, so Friday night. So it just, yeah, it's just quite a sobering reminder that amongst all of these celebrations and protests and things, that's the ultimate reality of life for a lot of LGBT people, not just in the UK, but around the world as well. So, yeah, that's me off my soapbox for this week. One thing to bring the note up a little bit, I will say, our friend Benjamin Dean, author Benjamin Dean.
It's a big week.
It is a big week. We are going to be going to his first actual book launch, because the other two, sadly, have been over various lockdowns and restrictions. His new book, The King is Dead, is out this week, I believe Thursday. You can get it Waterstones, ideally, because they've got a gorgeous special edition sprayed edge cover. I've almost finished it. I've been kind of keeping quiet. I haven't told them where I'm up to. So the description actually says Gossip Girl, but make it royal. And it is a British black LGBTQ reimagining of the royal household. And it's filled with gags and goops and drama and mystery. Yeah, so go and buy that now. The King is Dead by Benjamin Dean at Not Again Ben is out already in some bookshops, actually, before the release date. So yeah, get your paws on that. And congratulations, Ben, because this is his third book and he's just been working so incredibly hard.
Endlessly, tirelessly. What a hero.
Yeah, shout out, Ben. And with that, we're going to have 6 months off because Pride's exhausting.
No, it won't be that long, but it might be a couple of weeks or so.
Yeah.
As you move and go to Rwanda and do all sorts. So, yeah, that's your lot. I think we'll both say that the march on Friday is probably our positive thing of the week. Exactly. So we don't need to go over that again. Hope you enjoyed listening to it. For the first time this season, I think, please rate, review, subscribe. It really, really helps and gets us in the charts, etc., etc., blah, blah, blah.
Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And follow us at Bottoming Pod on all of your socials. Not TikTok anymore because we don't do video. So
yeah. I mean, you could go for the archive. So you could go and follow for the archive.
Yeah, sure. And also visit bottomingpodcast.com for any bits to go along
resources,
with this episode.
Resources, links, archive of episodes, pictures of the two of us by your boyfriend Sam Taylor Edwards, and yeah, all bits and bobs, and send us an email if you fancy. Go on, bottomingpodcast@gmail.com. That's your lot.
That is your lot. We're gonna go now. Thank you for listening. Stay proud, stay loud, stay safe.
Okay.
You're doing amazing, sweetie.
You're doing amazing, sweetie. Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Kisses.
Confidence starts with loving who you are. And when your skin feels nourished and glows on the outside, you naturally radiate confidence from the inside. Give your skin a glow up with Osea's clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This ultra-hydrating body care features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. These seaweed-powered heroes use skincare-level ingredients normally reserved for your face for results you can see and confidence you can feel. Osea has been making clean, clinically proven seaweed-infused face and body care products for over 28 years. This luxurious skincare is vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code GLOW.